Margaret Chudich grew up in Anoka. She was a champion tennis player in high school. Her legal career includes clerking for a district court judge, private practice, as well as work in public service with the Attorney General, where she served as Deputy Attorney General. She's also been the Assistant Dean at the Humphrey School of Public Affairs at the University of Minnesota. And prior to being appointed to the Minnesota Supreme Court in 2016, she was a judge with the Minnesota Court of Appeals. Minnesota's current governor, Mark Dayton, cited her diversity of experience as his reason for appointing her as a justice to the Minnesota Supreme Court. And it's also notable that she made history as the first openly gay member of the state's highest court. I'm Heidi Holton, and Justice Margaret Chudich joins us in the KBXE studios in downtown Bemidji now. Thanks for being here.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So I said you grew up in Anoka. That's all well and good, but you have roots on the Iron Range as well.
That's right. That's right. My grandfather and grandmother came from Croatia, and my grandfather worked in the mines. So okay. He was a miner. And my father was the first child born in the United States, and he lived in Litonia, which is about, I think, about 2 or 3 miles from Hibbing, a little mining location, as they were called back then.
Well, and so we're talking in Bemidji today, and you came in with something that's sort of related to your family's roots as well, the patitsa bread.
Yes.
So you definitely
yes.
know not to call it patika.
Oh, yes.
Or potica yes. or something like that.
No, that's right. Yeah. No, we always called it patitsa.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things we looked forward to when we went up to visit my grandparents. My grandmother, I watched her make it many a time. And boy, it takes a lot of time and care mm-hmm. to make a good patitsa.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your career. What drew you in the first place? I mean, sometimes kids kind of know what they want to do. What drew you into law?
Well, you know, I'm a little different that way because you do hear people who say, I knew since I was in yeah. sixth grade that I wanted to be a lawyer. I didn't know at all until I was maybe my junior year in college. And I had gone through a number of thoughts about what I wanted to be. My first thought was I wanted to be an English teacher. And then I took a class at the U and it was an advanced class, and on the symbolism, you know, in the works, I thought, oh, this isn't quite for me. And I always love history, so I thought, well, maybe I'll be a history professor. And I was actually interested in immigration history because of my grandparents. But then I thought, I really would like to help people. I would like to be a little more connected to what I thought was the real everyday world. And I thought it'd be nice to be able to make a living when I got out of my studies. So I decided to go to law school.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what it means to be a judge. You know, you can't miss the headlines right now about the federal Supreme Court. But for you, what do you think makes a good judge? Not specifically to that case by any means, but I think a lot of times we don't even think about this, but it is something people are talking about right now.
Oh, absolutely. The key thing I think a judge has to be is fair and open-minded. I really try to keep an open mind as much as possible, hear the case, look at the law, look at the applicable facts, and then make a decision. And I think it's really important to be respectful to the people who come before the court, and to let them know that you've studied their case, you've listened to them, you understand their arguments, and then telling them why they're winning or if they're not winning. You know, why their side didn't prevail. And I really try to write in a way that's very accessible to the general public. You know, we have a lot of legalese in the legal world, and I think and acronyms and that kind of thing, and I really think that isn't helpful. And I try to write so that the people don't have to consult their lawyer to know why they won or why they lost.
You know, people say part of the legacy of our current governor, Mark Dayton, is some of the diverse appointments he's made while he's mm-hmm. been in office. Do you think that's important? And if you do, why?
I think it's very important. And I'll give you an example from when I was a young lawyer. I went to the Minnesota Supreme Court, and that was the first time in history anywhere in the United States that there was a woman in the majority of the court. And I was a very young lawyer, and when I went before that court, I had a sense of belonging, that it was fine that I was there as a young woman, that I was going to be listened to, that people would be respectful. It just was a very important symbolic thing to see, as opposed to appearing in front of an all-male court, which, you know, still happens sometimes. Maybe not all male courts, but, you know, there's courts where there are a majority of and plus of men. And so I don't know that it's I don't know that the quality of justice is different, but it's important for the community to feel comfortable, to know that there are people who look like them on the bench. And I do think there are cases. I know my colleagues all the time bring up points that simply don't occur to me. And I know that I've brought up points because I've been a woman that simply hadn't occurred to my male colleagues. When I was on the Court of Appeals, there was a case that I thought involved great physical danger to a wife. And it took kind of me mentioning how that action that the husband in the case had taken would have affected me as a person and as a woman. Because I think they thought, oh, that's not really anything. And I thought it was terribly intimidating. So you have things like that go both ways, where you have a balanced court that I think is really appropriate and helpful to making a good decision.
We are talking today with Minnesota Supreme Court Justice Margaret Chudich, and we're kind of hearing more of her story. Can you tell us a little bit about, because I said earlier that you were appointed by Governor Dayton, then you go into election after that? How does that process work?
Well, what happens is that judges have six-year terms, and when a judge leaves before his or her six-year term is up, then the governor gets to appoint a person to that open position. And in Minnesota, we have something called the Judicial Selection Commission, which is, I think, a wonderful thing, where the governor has appointed certain people to that commission, and the Supreme Court has a couple of appointments to that position. There are lawyers and lay people on there. So when that position on the Minnesota Supreme Court opened up, then I submitted an application, and it's a very detailed application. You have to put down every single case you've ever tried. You list opposing counsel, and I sent 10 letters of recommendation, and then they go through the paperwork. And then they choose people to interview. So you sit in front of 13 people and get grilled. And then if you're lucky enough, then they send three names to the governor. The governor interviews you with his advisors, and then he selects a person. So I feel that that's very important, because it shows that the people who are being appointed by the governor have a level of merit that it's a rigorous process, and they check to see whether you've paid your taxes, you know, whether you've done all the things you're supposed to do. They talk to those opposing counsels to find out how you were in court. I think it's a really good system. So that's how I came to the both the Court of Appeals and the Supreme Court. And then under our system, you have to run to retain your seat. And anybody can challenge you. They need to pay a filing fee. And so there's no vetting for the opponent, but that's the way the system works. And then if we win the election, then we have the six-year term. And the other thing that I think people sometimes don't know, they think about the federal system where people get appointed for life. We're appointed for that, or appointed or elected for that six-year period, but then we need to retire when we hit age 70. So judges in Minnesota are not, you know, not serving actively when they're, you know, in their 80s or 90s even.
So I had mentioned, you know, kind of your bio and the varied background you've had as a lawyer, working for the Attorney General in academia, appellate court judge. I'm curious if there are things as a Minnesota Supreme Court judge, like, how is your life different? Are there things that you miss? Are there things you have to do differently as a judge in the world now in this position?
Yeah, there are things that you do differently. You know, I make sure that I don't opine on issues that may come before the court. You know, I go places and people say, hey, Justice Judich, you know. So not that I was wild and crazy before I got on the court, but there really is, you know, there's an institution that you want, you're part of, and you project an image as part of that institution that we all cherish and we want to protect. So, you know, I do think there are a few constraints on, you know, what you do once you become a justice on the Supreme Court.
So how do you approach this election season? Because certainly this is a really contentious season, whether it comes to governor or attorney general race, even in Minnesota. And for a lot of reasons, I think that's kind of cool because people seem to be paying a little bit more attention. But I know a lot of times people don't know what to do when it comes to voting for judges. Mm-hmm. And so how are you doing this? How are you meeting people and getting your name out there?
Well, it is difficult in some ways. And people, you know, first of all, we have to start by saying, turn over the ballot, you know, remember to turn over the ballot and to vote for the judges in the first place. You know, I'm trying to get out and meet people wherever I can. I'm meeting them, you know, in bakeries, coffee shops. You know, I go to events. It's nice that way. I've enjoyed talking to people about our court because, you know, unless you've been before it or you're a lawyer, it's kind of hard to know how our court operates. So I'm very proud of our court. I think we're a hardworking court. We're seven of us from very diverse backgrounds, and we certainly have strong opinions, but we try very hard when we disagree to do it without being disagreeable. And I think we're modeling ways of resolving disputes in a civilized fashion, and I take great pride in that.
Well, we always recommend people get out and get involved and vote. Election Day, don't forget, is Tuesday, November 6th, and in Minnesota, you can vote early. You don't have to have a reason for that. You can vote by absentee, and you can find lots of information on how to vote, where to vote, at the Minnesota Secretary of State's office, their website. That's got a lot of information for you there. So, you know, you've been a judge in a number of different ways. Is this a job you would recommend to others? I happen to have people in my life that I know are interested in doing this at someday in their life. Is it a good job to have?
Oh, I love this job. Yeah. It's a hard job, you know, because you're resolving disputes for people. People, when they come to court, they have tough, tough issues in their lives. But it's really, I find it really a privilege to be that person in the middle, listening to both sides carefully, trying to decide what's reasonable, what's just, given the law and the facts of the case. I think that's a real honor to be in that situation.
That is Minnesota Supreme Court Justice Margaret Judich. She is up for election. You can find information on her and her background, justicemargaretjudich.org. Thanks for coming in today.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.